by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
From the expat home of the resistance, it's the Bill Show. And now, brothers and sisters in solidarity, here's Bill and Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hello, William.
How you going, man?
And hello to our thousands of listeners.
Thousands. I counted them on one hand one day, and it was thousands.
Sorry, Willie. There are apparently a fair few out there.
There are a fair few out there. Hey, how was your week?
Well, apart from choking on smoke inhalation and, you know, hard to see, although we've had a wonderful big thunderstorm and rain
just now,
just came right across Victoria. You probably should get it soon.
Yeah, we got it. It's come down like
yeah, it was terrific. Cats and dogs, although we kept the dogs, got rid of the cats, and but it was quite something though. But I'm sure it's going to help all the guys doing it rough on the fire lines.
Victoria.
Yeah, did you know that NASA have said
that
the smoke from the Eastern Victorian fires is going to go right around the world?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
like Krakatoa and all that shit.
Yeah, well, no, we you're in one part of Melbourne, I'm in the other part of Melbourne, and I swear to God, it rains, so that cleared some of it. But the last couple of days it's been unhealthy to go outside.
I know. We didn't let our dog out or anything.
No?
Yeah, it was shocking.
Yeah, it's just shocking. So evidently, I heard that James Murdoch, one of the two, who is, you told me he was the ugly one?
The ugly one, yeah. Lachlan is the cover girl.
Yeah.
James is the other one.
Lachlan's the guy who does the Elvis remake. He's the sexy one, and this guy, James has figured out that maybe that he would tell his father that climate change is not really a theory, especially when some of James's own land here in Australia gets burnt. And he'll be counting on Rupert to figure out the go ahead.
James is a bit of a greenie. He's on the board of Tesla, pushing electric cars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is kind of a responsible trillionaire, you know?
I don't know.
See how it goes.
I don't know. If your last name is Murdoch, I don't know.
He's got what's-her-name as a stepmother.
I don't know. Jerry Hall?
Jerry Hall.
Go figure that one out. I mean, look,
yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, Jerry Hall, I remember she was hanging out with Mick Jagger. Now she's married to this decrepit fuck who was...
And have you seen Mick Jagger lately?
No. But Rupert Murdoch is the afterbirth of the son of Satan come here to usher in the end of days. So if that's on your list of guys you'd like to meet... And have the plus of being 82. I mean, I was thinking to myself, hey, Jerry, you got enough money, right? So what the fuck is this shit? it's like, seriously. I don't know.
Well, she went from one big wrinkly to another big wrinkly.
Yeah.
Jagger's pretty wrinkly.
Yeah, but Jagger's cool. Jagger has talent. Yeah. Rupert, he's evil. He's like the Dark Lord, man. Anyway, speaking of evil, we had a really evil 2 weeks.
In the political scene.
Oh, my fucking Lord. Man. Jesus Christ. I was sitting there watching this entire Iran thing, and I was so angry, Randy, that I decided to have a rave. A rant. You know, a good old-fashioned rant. And the only...
I know what they are like.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, you have to get it out.
But I want to do it in a way that's articulate and smart. And makes a case and tells a story. And the person who I know who did that for me when I started listening to him in the 90s was Keith Olbermann.
Wow.
Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
So what I've done is I miss him right now. So being an actor,
Everybody does. I miss him. Yeah. I miss him too.
Yeah. Yeah. And being an actor, I did what actors do. So this is...
What? You actually channeled
him? I channeled Keith, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. I really do believe everything I said. I wrote this out. Guys, this is... I am so pissed off, and we'll talk about it in a second. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is blog post one of the Bill blog. And I give it to you humbly. Here it is.
This is the Bill Show blog, the 12th of January, 2020. In the last 2 weeks, Donald J. Trump plunged the Middle East into a confrontation, leading Iran and the United States to the brink of another all-out war in the Middle East. He did this as a political distraction from his oncoming trial in the United States Senate, where he will be the only president in American history to be impeached in the first term of office. The depraved indifference to human life, the disregard for the possible death of thousands, however, is not a trait that is solely owned by Donald J. Trump. It is hardwired into the party that bred him. A look back at the Republican Party through the last 42 years shows the festering petri dish that spawned the 45th president of the United States. It was in the waning days of 1968 when a frustrated and angry Richard Milhouse Nixon, the GOP candidate for the presidency of the United States, decided to commit treason. Lyndon Baines Johnson, the emotionally and physically destroyed president who had single-handedly decimated his legacy by falling into the quagmire of Vietnam, spent the last days of office focused on negotiating a treaty to end the tortuous 8-year war that had killed thousands. He had finally managed to get the North Vietnamese to the bargaining table. The South Vietnamese were set to meet for the first real dialogue to end the Vietnam War. That was before Republican nominee Richard Nixon sought to continue a foreign conflict and to allow Americans to be killed to suit his own political ambition. According to personal notes from Nixon aide H.R. Haldeman revealed in 2017, Richard M. Nixon told an aide that they should find a way to secretly monkey wrench peace talks in Vietnam in the waning days of the 1968 campaign, for fear that progress toward ending the war and having peace would hurt his chances for the presidency. In a telephone conversation with H.R. Haldeman, who would go on to become the White House chief of staff and felon, Republican President Richard Nixon gave instructions that a friendly intermediary should keep working on South Vietnamese leaders to persuade them not to agree to a deal before the election. Both Johnson and Humphrey's surging campaign had confidence that these peace talks could have brought about an end to the Vietnam War in 1968. Yet the South Vietnamese suddenly withdrew from the talks after the entreaties of the Nixon campaign. Hence, no talks went forward. The Vietnam War did not end in 1968. The war would go on for another 6 long years. Another 17,000 American soldiers died. Estimates from the British Journal of Medicine range from half to three-quarters of a million Vietnamese, Cambodian, civilian, and military paid the price for the 1968 Republican nominee when he assumed the presidency. Move forward to Ronald Reagan, another Republican president who allegedly manipulated foreign policy and committed treason for his own political gain. It was called the October Surprise of 1980. The Reagan administration and Republicans always denied they had any backdoor negotiations with Ayatollah Khomeini's revolutionary regime during the Iran hostage crisis. Specifically, they denied that Reagan's campaign manager, former CIA head William J. Casey, traveled surreptitiously to Madrid in the summer of 1980 to meet with a representative of the Ayatollah and to suggest that it might be in Iran's interest to stall the negotiations over the release of the American hostages. Casey allegedly intimated that a Reagan administration would resume arms sales to the Iranians. These allegations seemed too outrageous, too outlandish to be believed. Journalists investigated. A House October Surprise Task Force delved into the story. Two good books, Gary's Six October Surprise in 1992 and Robert Perry's Trick or Treason in 1993, made strong circumstantial arguments that something had happened, though neither were able to prove that Casey had flown to Madrid. Just a few years ago, Perry discovered a damning memo in the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library dated November 4th, 1991. The memo was written by President Bush's deputy counsel, Paul Beach, and it described the State Department's efforts to collect the documents in response to the congressional subpoenas for material potentially relevant to the October surprise allegations. Beach then specifically mentions a cable from Madrid embassy indicating that Bill Casey, former head of the CIA and current head of the George H.W. Bush presidency campaign, was in town at that time for purposes unknown. As a result, Americans remained the hostages of Iran till Ronald Reagan became president and really did sell arms to Iran. The Republican Party's conduct in the position of the presidency is a freak show of death, deceit, treason, and carnage. We won't even talk about stealing the presidency in 2000 when Republican George Bush Sr. appointees to the Supreme Court awarded the presidency to George W. Bush, not allowing the votes to be counted. We won't even talk about the 2 million or so dead, maimed, or killed in multiple wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, started fraudulently and waged so members of the Bush administration and their corporate contributors could personally make billions. We won't even talk about the degradation of black sites, torture chambers, collateral damage, and the destruction of everything resembling civil rights in this country. We won't even talk about the right-wing Supreme Court, packed by Republican presidents, literally legalizing bribery in the American political process. This all pales in comparison to the current Republican president, Donald J. Trump. The Frankenstein's monster of the Republican Party's depraved, racist, fascist id. Years of fostering hatred, violence, racism, bigotry, greed, and moral depravity in the body politic had gone to its natural, insane, psychotic conclusion. And we got a preview of that possible conclusion in the last 2 weeks. Item: in the first hours, shortly after midnight local time, airstrikes hit Baghdad International Airport. Iraq's Popular Mobilization Forces, the PMF, issue a statement saying that 5 members and 2 guests were killed in the strikes. Shortly after, they say that Qasem Soleimani, the second most powerful man in the Iranian government, was killed by an airstrike, a strategy rejected by 2 previous presidents who were concerned that such an action in the Middle East would cause, quote, a full-scale war with Iran. Item: neither the Congressional Intelligence Committee or any Democrat in the Congress or Senate were informed of the strike. Republican President Donald Trump tweeted on Sunday that his Twitter posts will serve as notification to Congress if the U.S. takes further action against Iran. That didn't stop Trump, who boasted of the coming strikes to guests at his Mar-a-Lago resort, and his son Eric, who tweeted 24 hours before the strike that his father was going to, quote, open up a can of whoop-ass real soon. Item: during this time, Trump threatened to target 52 sites in Iran, cultural sites, Iranian cultural sites, which in itself is a war crime. Item: during this time, Britain, France, Germany, Canada, all the remnants of the international contingent populating the 4,000 international personnel in Iraq were kept in the dark. Ambassadors, foreign staff, as well as American personnel were kept completely in the dark. First learning of the attack on CNN. Item: Iran, the great boogeyman of America for the past 32 years, the bloodthirsty madmen who have been demonized by administration after administration, proved to be the only sane party involved, patterning their attack to pacify crowds amassed throughout Iran, screaming death to America in their thousands. Their missile strikes were targeted and forewarned to result in no American casualties. Item: though there were no American casualties, a passenger plane taking off from Iran at the time of the crisis was inadvertently shot down by anxious Iranians launching ground-to-air missiles at what they thought were enemy aircraft. On the plane, 176 men, women, and children died. Those aboard the plane most likely faced the horrifying final moments, starting with an explosion as the missile detonated just outside it, sending shrapnel and debris spiraling through the fuselage containing the passengers and crew. Item, despite delivering a measured strategic response with no casualties, Iran announced a complete end to the nuclear agreement that other dignitaries throughout the world sought to continue, vowing a full-speed return to development of nuclear weapons. Experts in the United States state that at that rate, Iran could become a nuclear power in the Middle East in the next 12 to 24 months. Trump was allowed a way out of the Edwardian knot of almost certain all-out war. Yet he still managed to give a speech that nonsensically blamed Barack Obama, the very architect of the peace deal he had torn up for no reason 6 months before. Meanwhile, further investigations into the imminent threat posed by the assassinated general was shown to be a fraud. Even Republican members of Congress were unable to establish any evidence that there had ever been an imminent threat at all. This was probably the worst briefing I've ever seen, at least on a military issue, in the 9 years I've served in the U.S. Senate, said Republican Mike Lee. Another senator said they don't have any underlying facts to establish an imminent threat. The information we got was no more detailed or revealing than what we've read in the news or seen on TV. And that is because there was no imminent threat. Donald J. Trump had taken the United States to the brink of war for only one reason. Donald J. Trump. For his own political benefit. He is also empowered and supported by a party that is equally contemptible and depraved. As political hacks and hucksters on political right seek to make political hay out of what their mad king had done to bring the world to the brink of war. Meanwhile, 176 burned, mutilated men, women, and children lie on a scarred runway, a tribute to the human cost of Donald J. Trump's patented Republican depraved act of insanity. The Republican Party and their leaders are no longer a danger to just the United States. They are an active danger to the world. From confrontations and staged managed crises in Syria and North Korea, it is only a matter of time before Trump's insanity claims more than the lives of passengers on an airplane. All legal means must be used to destroy the most dangerous and lethal terrorist organization plaguing the world today. That organization is the Republican Party, and their leader is Republican President Donald J. Trump. Impeach, remove, register, resist.
God, Bill, that was amazing. I can't tell you. That was Keith Olbermann.
Yes, I channeled him from the great beyond.
You certainly did, Ollie. That wasn't just, you know, like an imitation. You had it all.
Well, I tell you something, man. I watched this shit, and the fact is that this guy is responsible, at least, for the death of 176 men, women, and children. Children.
No,
kids.
Keith Olbermann. Yeah.
All right? Because this wouldn't have happened. And this whole thing, it's just as I told you. I'm going to play you a cut from the last show. Here's the cut. This is what we said in the last show. And remember this?
Trump's administration has insisted that the strike was ordered to thwart an imminent threat from Iran, not to start a war.
That's right.
Fucking bullshit, Donnie. Donnie wants a terrorist incident. Donnie wants something to distract everybody from the fact that he's a fucking traitor and a crook.
And he wants to be reelected.
And he wants to be reelected.
And that's what we said on the last show.
Yeah.
It's the most obvious thing that, as I said in the Olbermann rant, it's the obvious thing. And sure enough, when they asked what the specific, threat, the imminent threat was, They had no idea. In fact, I have a collection right now of all the stories, all the clips from all the stories in the last week of them trying to figure out which fucking story they want to talk about.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to talk about threats to one embassy or two embassies or three embassies. Oh, yeah, you have people like this, the Secretary of Defense.
It was supposed to be four embassies in the end.
Four embassies? What the fuck? And they, the Secretary of Defense, who had no fucking idea why they were doing this at this particular problem. I have actually put it to the appropriate music, Randy, and want to listen to it?
Yeah.
Please say yes.
Bill, it's called The Bill Show, you know.
Okay, sit back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you really want to sit around and listen to some furtive whining from ferrets, I mean, disgusting human beings. Every one of these people are fucking loathsome. They are fucking inhuman slime. And boy, that Secretary of State.
But
Pompeo. Oh, what a douchebag. What a fucking little born again cunt. All right, listen to this guy.
Handle his emails. But Benghazi.
Yeah, Benghazi. all right, this is the stories of, I will never lie to you, Donald Trump in the last week and his orchestra. Here we go.
President Trump says that General Soleimani was planning a, quote, imminent attack. What was the plan? Who were the targets and how soon?
There's things we simply cannot make public about what it is we knew at the time and what, in fact, we know today about the continuing activity.
So was the justification in that he's been this destabilizing force in the region for so long, or was the justification this imminent threat?
Chuck, it's never one thing. There is no doubt that there were a series of imminent attacks that were being plotted by Qasem Soleimani. We don't know precisely when, and we don't know precisely where, but it was real.
When you say the attacks were imminent, how imminent were they? Were we talking about days? Were we talking about weeks?
If you're an American in the region, days and weeks, this is not something that's relevant.
I had hoped and expected to receive more information outlining the legal, factual, and moral justification for the attack. I was left somewhat unsatisfied.
There was no specific information given to us of a specific attack, and none of it was overwhelming that X was going to happen.
My reaction to this briefing was it was sophomoric and utterly unconvincing. I was, well, utterly unpersuaded about any evidence about the imminence of a threat that was new or compelling.
We did not get information inside that briefing that there was a specific imminent threat. I think it is likely because it doesn't exist.
We did it because they were looking to blow up our embassy.
President, I'm not president.
No, I think it was obvious that he had more than that particular embassy in mind.
He was looking very seriously at our embassies and not just the embassy in Baghdad.
Don't the American people have a right to know what specifically was targeted without revealing methods and sources?
Well, I don't think so, but we will tell you that probably it was going to be the embassy in Baghdad.
Did he have large-scale attacks planned for other embassies? And if those were planned, why can't we reveal that to the American people? Wouldn't that help your case?
I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies.
Many members of Congress from both parties have said that none of the briefings mentioned threats to four U.S. embassies. Why is President Trump telling this to Fox News, but the administration is not briefing Congress on this threat of four embassies, unless there was actually no specific intelligence that there was a threat to four embassies?
The president never said there was specific intelligence. What the president said was he believed that it probably and could have been attacks against additional embassies. The president didn't say it was a tangible, he didn't cite a specific piece of evidence. What he said is he believed.
Are you saying there wasn't one?
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies.
And who can argue with that?
No, nobody. It's weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
It's anthrax.
The entire White House was like that kid, 8-year-old kid you caught and you're like taking cookies and shit. And he was going, I don't know, it was a big thing. That thing happened. You know, my favorite part is that, hey, weeks, days, whatever.
Whatever.
And ladies and gentlemen,
I love the whole thing. We can't trust anybody to tell
me. I can't trust anyone to tell me because God knows.
We can't trust Congress. I can only trust my son, the dumb one.
The dumb
Eric,
one.
Eric Beavis.
Beavis and Butthead.
The ugly one is Eric.
And, of course, as we said in the last show, anybody who happened to be at the fucking Mar-a-Lago resort when he was planning it. Because he was already coming up to people in the lunch line going, you never guess what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to open a big can of whoop-ass.
Wait a minute. I think that this deserves a button. Here it is.
Bullshit
level,
DEFCON 5.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
You found the bullshit generator.
Bullshit alert.
Bullshit alert, ladies and gentlemen. It wouldn't be so absolutely, you know, I mean, yeah, we're snickering a bit about this. But I want to turn this around for a second, ladies and gentlemen, and personalize this a bit. Fucking Donald Trump. Let me tell you a personal thing about me and Donald Trump. You know?
Yeah.
A personal thing about me and Donald Trump.
I want to hear this. Want to hear this.
I know I just have a podcast. I know that I've been doing it for a very, very fucking long time. And actually, right now, I'd probably rather not be doing this particular at the time because, as Brandy can tell you, that, you know, I have health problems in my family. But you know why I do it? Because I vote, I join the union, I'm active, and I do things like this. You know why? Specifically, to say fuck you to Donald Trump. Fuck you. You disgusting piece of slime. There is no one in the political cosmos that I have grown to revile more than the Republican Party, as you might have checked, and Donald Trump. Let's personalize this, ladies and gentlemen, because you see, when Donnie decided that he was going to, you know, do his little dog and pony show, unfortunately, a lot of people had to pay the price for that. In British Columbia, Ardalan Edonin Hamidi in Nilofar Razgai and their teenage son Kamar, a family of three from Vancouver, were returning from Iran where they had been taking a short vacation, and they were confirmed dead. The mother said she was full of dreams, and now they're gone. And I just read this. I said, people are not saying anything about this. University of Alberta confirmed 10 members of the institution's community were killed in the tragedy. A married couple who taught engineering at the University of Alberta. And they were flying along with their two lovely daughters. And there's a picture of Daria and Darina. Daria was 14 and Darina was 9. I fucking hate this cunt, Donald Trump. Because that blood is on your hands, motherfucker. And when I'm sitting there talking, I'm literally sitting here just listening to this shit. And I sit there and go, with me, it's almost personal now. I want to be sitting in my chair and I want to turn on my television and I want this party and this president to die screaming. Not literally, politically. I want to watch them burn in hell.
Yep.
I want to watch them all burn in hell. And this shit was done. These people are nothing to him. These people are nothing to Republicans. Nothing to them. Little 14-year-old girl and a little 9-year-old girl had to die along with 74 other people so Donnie could stage a distraction. If you can sit right with that, stay at home. Don't register. If you can't sit right with that, this ain't about politics, man. This is about an evil motherfucker who needs to be gone.
Mm.
And boy, do I have a lot of bile in me today.
I was going to say, let's let it simmer down.
Yeah, I got to simmer down.
I have to.
I'm not shouting at you. If you're at home listening to me, and you're very scared of me. I'm usually a very mild-mannered guy. But
he's shouting at me, ladies.
I'm
and gentlemen.
Shouting at him, not you.
Willie, I think I've got to hand it to our friends The Iranian government admitted that they shot down the plane in error.
Yeah.
A lot of people suspected it.
Yeah.
It kind of gave Trump an out, although they shot one down, 15, 20 years ago, a plane going from Tehran to Mecca flew over one of the Aegeus-class destroyers, and they shot it out of the sky. So America has a history of doing the same thing.
Well, no, I mean, but, that situation was a bogus situation that he set up.
Yeah.
He set up a situation which was going to be dangerous for people.
Mm.
And then,
yes.
You know, and Trudeau said it today. He said, I view the United States as partially responsible for this. They absolutely
are.
They're totally fucking... Oh, don't get me started with this guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, with
Come
me,
on,
it's like...
Bernie.
You know, sometimes
Bernie.
I wish I was Joe Pesci and I just had that opportunity. You
Bernie,
motherfucker.
Bernie, I want you dead.
What if De Niro says...
I want you dead.
I want to be dead. I want to go to Forest Lawn and piss on your ashes. And I'm not kidding. Not violently. But I'm not kidding. You know?
Willie.
God damn it.
Willie.
Anyway.
Bernie, remember your blood pressure.
Yeah, my blood pressure. I'm going to pop. Hey, listen, one other thing that I just wanted to say before we leave. I caught wind of this thing. While I'm sitting there reviewing all this stuff, which is important, that we have a guy who's president of the United States who evidently thinks that he can just push us into a war that easily.
And not tell anybody about it because we can't trust
we can't trust any of you guys. No, but he invites Russians to the Oval Office and tries to make a censored line of communication between him and the Kremlin, and he's saying that he can't trust Congress? Fuck you. Anyway.
No, he can't trust the Democrats.
No, it's just the Democrats. We should know one thing about this here. This is more important than what I heard happen in the debate. Have you caught wind of the shit that happened? Because it happened today, and I have to comment on it. Evidently, CIA.
The
debate that just ended for us. It was during the day today. So.
Yeah.
And evidently, CNN reported that in 2018, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Bernie Sanders evidently said a woman could not win
in 2020.
But all three of the people that said that weren't witnesses to the conversation. It was all hearsay. All hearsay. And CNN is barking up this, I'm telling you, man. My point is, if he said it, if he didn't say it,
it doesn't
fucking matter. Don't you know when you're being played? Don't you know when you're being played? This is a unsourced thing that is being put up there and stoked by the media. Somebody had this in their back pocket. I mean, it's been out there. Evidently, he did it last year. Someone's had this in their back pocket, and they've decided to drop it. And you know why? It's either, well, it came from somebody who was obviously around the Warren campaign. And if I want to get cynical, that might have been a way to kind of reinforce the idea that Bernie's a sexist, which is, of course, the most obviously stupid thing in the world.
Yeah.
Or it's just something that comes out when two people are there, and they are running against each other in a small field. But you know something? I hope we get around this, because both the Warren people and the Sanders people got to know why this happened. And you could see the people at CNN. They wouldn't leave the subject alone. They kept at it and kept at it. You know why? Because Comcast owns CNN. And the corporates want to divide the progressives. And this was
absolutely.
The first fucking shot of it. Get ready for a whole lot more, ladies and gentlemen. The real enemy here, if you think it's Sanders, it's not. If you think it's Warren, it's not. It's the fuckers over at CNN who published a bullshit story. A bullshit story from a year ago. Why now? Why is it coming out just before the debate? Tell me, why is that? If you think there's not a reason for that, you're out of your mind. CNN is part of the corporate media, and they would like nothing better than to start a grudge match between Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. And I know I'm right. I fucking know I'm right. Because I
know you're right, too.
Because this is all set up bullshit. It was all set up bullshit. They had to do something, and they're starting now. And if Bernie wins Iowa, expect more of it. If Warren wins Iowa, expect more of it. Expect more shit to drop to divide progressives against each other. That's what this is about. Nothing else.
Okay.
You know what? That's my rant. That's it.
Another.
I'm done.
I've got Randy's rant.
I know you've got Randy's rant. So we're going to take a break, and you brought some comedy along, didn't you?
Well, Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, I love the way this guy talks. And he did a wonderful segment a few days ago about the bushfires in Australia. I'd like to play that.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment, kids. We're going to give you a little comedy, cheer you up, and then we'll be back with Randy's Rant on show 248.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the evening's knockout debate between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Casino in gorgeous Las Vegas. In this corner, wearing a blue tie, we have the three-time Democratic presidential contender from Delaware, former Vice President Joe Biden. In this corner, with the red tie, is two-time challenger independent senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders.
Might I just say, it's wonderful to be back in Idaho.
Mr. Biden, we're in Nevada.
Of course we are.
I must say that I am neither a pugilist or a spectator, so having this debate in a casino does not make me happy. But I understand the venue was free, and my wife has said the room is very nice, and I'm taking some of those little soaps with me back for my grandkids. Now I want a good, clean debate. No under-the-belt insults. Go to your quarters and come out debating.
I am 10 points in front of you in the last poll.
That's because they only call people with landlines over 60. My constituency are young voters with mobile phones. God damn it.
Who are your secret backers? Your billionaires.
Billionaires? Everyone knows the average donation to my campaign is $100. Billionaires? There are no billionaires. Billionaires hate me. I just want them to pay their own fair share of taxes.
So you can give away free stuff. You're a communist.
Joe, there is no free stuff. There is taxpayer-funded and business-funded. Socialism and capitalism. They're bookends. I am a democratic socialist, not a communist, you idiot. My supporters understand this. That's why they support me.
You're Jewish. America has never had a Jewish president.
Am I Jewish? I never knew that. Don't be stupid. Being Jewish is part of who I am. Most rational voters don't care about the religion. Kennedy was a Catholic. Nixon, a Quaker. You once sided with a segregationist, Leroy. Is that who you are?
That was a long time ago.
I think the job of the American voter, all American voters, is to elect the best candidates who speak to their needs. Whether they are women, whether they are men, whether they're gay, whether they're straight, whether they're old, whether they're young, whether they're plants, whether they're animals, whether they're fish, whether they're whales. You get the idea. Just get out and vote.
Well, I do like your policy of minimum age 15.
Not minimum age, Joe. It's minimum wage. Don't be such a huggy grandpa creep. Jesus Christ, you sound like Trump. Oh, no, the Biden corner has thrown in the towel. That last comment from Sanders was a TKO. Sanders wins the debate.
Well, Bernard, Would you consider me for your vice presidential candidate? I have lots of experience.
Joseph, I think I would rather gouge my eyes out with a red-hot poker.
Well, that's a little harsh.
With a cold poker, then. And don't hug me. Don't ever touch me. Don't ever, ever touch me.
Firefighters are racing to save the wildlife amid those wildfires still raging. The staggering toll we've been reporting on here, now an estimated billion animals lost.
Experts say 80% of Australia's wildlife can only be found on this continent, and many are now threatened.
And as temperatures soared, koalas faced dehydration. This firefighter lent a helping hand, and this cyclist gave water to a koala who just couldn't drink enough.
Oh, man. That is just heartbreaking. And not just because so many animals are being wiped out, but because Australia has the coolest animals you can't find anywhere else. Like, no one else has animals with a built-in fanny pack, huh? Which other country has an animal that looks like a beaver banged a duck? And of course, Australia is home to the rarest species of all, the Hemsworth brother. We need them. We need them. I also have to say, it's heartwarming to see people, you know, coming to the rescue of animals. Quick heads up, though, and this is completely true, the koala population is riddled with chlamydia. So I'm just saying, you may want to scrub that water bottle before you, you know, have sex with it. Yeah, you don't want to get your own personal bushfire. Now, Australians aren't just hurt and scared because of these fires right now. There's also a lot of anger in the country. And a lot of it is aimed at the Australian Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who many Australians feel hasn't handled this situation like a leader should.
This nationwide crisis started back in September. The Prime Minister continues to face backlash over the response.
Morrison has been heavily criticised for insisting that the responsibility belonged to state rather than federal government and for vacationing in Hawaii during the fires.
I get it that people would have been upset to know that I was holidaying with my family while their families were under great stress.
Scott Morrison set out for a prime ministerial moment on the fire's front lines. Instead, rejection. A firefighter refusing the prime minister's handshake. Other residents heckled the prime minister.
Hey, come back! You're not welcome!
Until he drove away.
You from the media, tell the prime minister to go and get from Nelligan. We really enjoy doing this.
Wow. That is an angry Australian man. And usually it's hard to tell when Australians are angry, mostly because their accent always sounds upbeat. And I was just like, hey, mate, I'm gonna stuff a bloody dingo up your ass. And you're like, oh, thank you. So Australians are angry at the Prime Minister because he was on vacation during a crisis and he didn't want volunteer firefighters to get paid even though they're risking their lives. And while Australians are accusing their Prime Minister of not stepping up, the rest of the world, luckily, is trying to help in a major way.
Apocalyptic destruction and a global reaction. The largest Facebook campaign ever has raised more than $30 million for firefighters.
Music star Lizzo took a break from her tour in Australia to help pack meals for fire victims.
On Monday, a crew of 20 veteran firefighters from California who fought some of the state's most devastating wildfires suited up and shipped out to Melbourne.
Caitlin Ward, she's a model and she's now known as the Naked Philanthropist. The 20-year-old was offering to send nude photos to people who made a donation to relief efforts. She posted on Twitter that if they made a donation and they sent her proof, she would send back a nude photo of herself. She says the idea has helped raise $1 million in donations.
Wow. This woman raised $1 million in donations with nude photos. Really shows you we can solve all the world's problems if we can just harness the power of horniness. Yeah. I mean, imagine if people got a nude picture every time they recycled properly. People would get very diligent about sorting their trash. Be like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Put the plastic in the blue bin. I want to see that ass. And now, despite everyone who's chipping in, Australia still needs all the help it can get. So please, if you can, go to the websites on the screen and donate whatever it is. You can donate money, you can donate time, you can adopt a Hemsworth. Every little bit helps. But the big thing we've got to remember is that unless the world leaders take climate change really seriously, situations like this are just gonna keep happening. And if you don't know, now you know. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
It's rant time, Randy.
Oh, God. Sorry. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and blue plaid boxers. It was hot today up here.
Think about it, ladies. Think about it. Boxer short with argyle socks, was it that you're wearing?
No, just plain old white gym socks.
Oh, wow. What a, hey.
I haven't changed them since high school.
Thank you very much. Wonderful.
Okay, now, son, young
I can
William,
smell it from I, here.
Yeah, and we're only 150 kilometers apart. I just wanted to back announce a couple of lovely things. Trevor Noah, I love this man, and this was his little bit on the Australian bushfires and literally the billion animals. Not even counting the... A lot of them are farm animals. Most of them are wildlife, because what burned was mainly bushland, not farmland.
Can I raise my hand for a minute? All you people who don't believe in climate change, I'm going to sell you a house in bushlands in Australia.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you sit there during the summer. Yeah. And then you'll be a believer. Okay, motherfucker?
All right. Now, don't be disrespectful to our listener.
Oh, no, I'm not talking to them. They know who I'm talking to. They know who I'm talking to.
Hi, Val. Hi, Val.
Hi, Val. Sorry about that. I'm really angry.
Glenn Falls,
week.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I was going to say, so that was young Trevor Noah. And also, a little sketch that we put together for part... We've done one for each show, the last two shows.
We have done one for each show. And that
We're going to try to keep that up.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, that was Randall Berger, ladies and gentlemen. Randall Berger wrote that one, so thank you very much, Randall. That was fabulous.
I like to have a ring of truth.
I think it did.
Whereas the last
I didn't
one
like
had,
the 15-year-old thing about Joe. That's pretty off. But
15,
you know,
15, the minimum age 15 instead of
the minimum wage is 15. It's funny, but it's tasteless as hell. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
That's well. At least I didn't have people inhabiting Bernie Sanders'
asshole. That's why I didn't say anything, man. Because I'm in the glass house of all glass houses.
You certainly are, Ollie.
Okay, man.
Okay. So that was our little comedy break there. Now, my rant this week is not so much a rant as a service.
Oh.
A public service.
Okay.
I'm going to do a benevolent service for, even though he's a Republican...
Yeah.
I still want to help this chap out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. He's put up a website. Yeah. RepublicanGoddess.com.
What is it?
.com.
Uh-huh.
Now, this guy is 68. He's He's a minister, which means he's tax-free. He's got false teeth, and he looks like Lurch.
Ladies?
Now, I will just read you a little bit of his shtick.
Oh,
and
please.
I'll play a little bit of a recording of him.
Praise
because
the Lord.
I really think people should take this to heart. And if there is if there is a Republican... woman out there, I want her to seriously consider taking this. It's actually a test. It's a quest. This is
is it a test he made up to find out which eager woman is going to be going for this 60-year-old pastor with a false teeth?
Yeah, he wants to sort
out. A certain amount of ego right there.
People, as we talk, Bill, you can do it too while we listen. All right.
Okay,
now,
here we go.
Here is, the photos are only a couple of months old, so this is not, this is not just, he's not faking it.
Okay, all right.
Seeking awesome Republican goddess. Mm. Hi. I'm looking for a Republican goddess for marriage. This is my own personal website. that I've created to help me find her. No other men are here, just me.
Okay.
If you are a single woman who might potentially be interested, then I invite you to take my virtual hand and let me guide you through this website. I'm a healthy 68. I'm looking for a woman born in any year from 1950 to 1995. That means 25 years old to 68.
25? Ah.
Well, born in 1995.
That's going to happen.
Who takes excellent care of herself. Now, if you listen...
Who takes extra good care? I love this guy. He's picky, really?
Yeah. Well, when you have a look... Have you logged on?
No, I haven't. I haven't logged on. You want me to log on this thing?
Yeah, I want you to have a look.
You want me to have a look in real time while we're doing the show?
Yeah. .com. This is my service to this man. Now stop
it. Okay. All right. I will.
I'm continuing as Pastor Used By Day. I mean, Pastor William.
Okay.
.com.
I just know there were.
I'm a natural born U.S. citizen residing in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Right.
I will consider relocating within the United States, but am unwilling to move to another country. If the woman I am looking for lives outside the United States, she must be willing and legally able to move to the United States to marry me and to live with me here. As you will read through this website, you will notice that I am an intense, complex man who thinks way outside the box. If my intensity, complexity is too much for you, or if I think too far outside the box for you, well, then we are not a match.
Yeah, but what box? Wait a minute, Randy. I got it. I got it on my computer. Wait a minute. I'm going to have a look at the picture now. Okay, but
there's a hole.
Jesus, man. What are you doing to me?
You peeked. Okay. Now.
Hello, Randy. You there?
Oh, okay. Here we go. I've got question number one to see if you are the Republican goddess.
Okay.
How do you feel about U.S. President Donald Trump? A, I think Trump is great. And I fully support him. B, I'm open-minded about Trump and would like to learn why he's a great president. C, I dislike or am disgusted by President Trump and would never vote for him. Or D, something else.
Yeah, I got to go with, if there's something else that I would like to see him buried under dust. Okay. If that's something else, I guess.
That's your okay. Well, you're out then.
Okay, I'm out.
In snakes and ladders, you just got the big snake.
Okay.
The correct answer is I think Trump is a great president and fully support him, or I am open-minded about Trump and would like to learn why he's a great president. The other two, you get the flick.
I get the flick.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
All right. What's the next
and
one?
No kiss.
Okay.
Question two. Yeah. What is your marital status? And there are like 12 variations.
I am legally separated, but not divorced from my husband. I'm legally divorced from
my
husband. I'm a widow.
All of those above.
I escaped from a penitentiary.
I escaped from my husband's harem.
Huh?
That's a good one, too. I escaped from my husband's harem.
But my marital status is uncertain. Okay.
Yeah.
I legally separated or divorced my wife. Something else is always...
The answer
is... Something else is always intriguing to me.
I've never been married is correct.
I've never been married.
Question number three. Yeah. What is your gender history? This is tough.
All right.
I'm a female. My physical body is female. I've always been female my entire life, and I'm happy that I'm a female. Ever since I came out of my mother's womb.
Aww.
Or something else. The correct answer is not something else. Question number
four. All you trannies out there, you're losing out on something really special.
Which of the following best describes your religion or spiritual beliefs? When I say God, I mean a unique, omnipotent, omniscient being who loves you unconditionally. This goes on for pages and then ends with something else. My guess is you have to say, I believe in God. I'm a spiritual person who loves God with all my heart. That's the correct one. Number five.
How about I believe in Jesus Christ is the only Son of God?
Yeah. How good is your English?
Is that what you just said?
That's question number five.
Oh, right. Okay. Go ahead.
The correct answer is my native language is English.
Okay.
Question number six. Which of the following best describes your citizenship or potential U.S. immigration status? And there's about 20 different things.
Read one of them.
And I have a U.S. visa that will not expire for at least 1 year. That's the correct answer. Or I'm a citizen of the United States. Otherwise, they get really tough.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's question seven. Yeah. Have you skipped ahead? Do you see what question seven is?
No.
What is your hairstyle?
Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah. Question seven, what is your hairstyle? Yeah. My hair is naturally straight or wavy.
Yeah.
What I do with my hair is my own business or something else. Number eight.
Something else.
Yeah, he's bald as a billiard ball.
Okay, let's speed this up. I'm bored with this couple. All
right, number eight. Do you have a trim waistline is number eight?
Yeah.
Number nine, how do you feel about feminism?
Oh, I got to have a trim. Wait, back up one. I got to have a trim waistline?
Well,
is that
I'm
what
not
he said?
Overweight.
Yeah. No fatties.
Question eight.
No fatties to pal around with the
and also what I do with my body is my business, and no man has any right to demand my figure look a certain way. That's the wrong answer.
Wow. So
okay,
no going around. Yeah, but let me just get this straight. I just need to get this straight. I've seen it.
No fatties.
I've seen this picture of this douchebag dressed in the most awful getup I've ever seen. And
what about the hat?
And the thing that he does? He's being zany. You know, like an old white guy that you meet on a golf course.
Yeah.
Man, you better be rich, because if you're not rich, you are absolutely not good. Go ahead, next one.
Question number 10.
No fatties, girls.
Which of the following best describes your use, consumption of problem substances? Now, he actually goes into a really long, long thing about what the substances are. But it's mainly booze and drugs and all that kind of stuff.
If I was married to this guy, I would be doing heroin every fucking day.
If I was married to him, yeah. Okay, I've never used or consumed any problem substances is a correct answer. Or I occasionally have a drink.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm going to spend time with this guy and I can't even have a drink?
And question 11, the last one.
Oh, Christ.
Which of the following best describes your physical and mental health? And it's quite extensive. And, of course, ends with something else.
Ends with something else.
Which is the wrong answer.
What's the correct answer there? What kind of mental health is he like?
I am physically and mentally healthy. Most of the time, I feel pretty good or excellent and have plenty of energy. I do not suffer from any serious physical illness. I do not suffer from chronic pain. I am not disabled.
Yeah, fuck you. If you're fat and disabled, fuck off. Hey,
I do not suffer from
it. Go fucking die in the street. Yeah, he's a Trump supporter, guys.
He wants a Republican goddess. I'm surprised he doesn't say like those bleach blondes that you always see in the front row of the rallies.
That's what he's looking for.
Now, William.
His idea of life after death is dating Gretchen Carlson. You know, that's it. Man.
That's her. That's it. Or he's like a male version of what's Trump's. Pastor White?
I don't think this was written. This is actually a website that Roger Ailes did before he died, isn't it?
No, it doesn't look anything like Roger Ailes. Now, can I ask you? I have a track of this guy. I'd like you to hear the sincerity.
Oh my God.
Of Reverend William. Well, Bill, if you could just play the track.
Okay.
I think people would hear that it's worth going to.
Look, I think we should just
play it.
Ignore him.
Play it.
Okay, all right.
Play it.
There's this guy, and he made a tape because he can't get laid. Hold on, here it is.
Hi. I've created this whole personal website to find a woman to marry me. Creating an exquisitely happy, incredibly powerful marriage with an awesome goddess is the most important thing in the world to me. I've been on a long, deep spiritual journey looking for her. And along the way, I have grown and developed and transformed myself tremendously. And I've learned a lot. In this video, I'm going to tell you about the most important thing I'm looking for in a marriage. And that's resonance, divine resonance. Resonance is a magical energy flow that happens when a system is perfectly tuned.
Randy, help me. He won't stop
talking.
Come
on, Bill.
No, he's got me cornered.
Have pity on this poor guy. Look, he's not much older than I am, although I'm not looking for I'm not trying to find a Republican goddess. Reverend William is serious about this. He's built a website.
Yeah, yes.
He's got all these 11 questions.
He's still talking, by the way. He's still fighting.
He goes on and on and on. And if you can take these questions, and then he's got, let me see, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, a 16-page a questionnaire that you have to fill out that finishes up with, Submit your photos, and God bless you, and God bless America.
But if you are handicapped or fat, fuck you. God
or
bless
a Democrat.
Fuck off. Or a Democrat. Fuck off. You know
if you're 25, really if you're 25 and can put up with him for a couple of years until he croaks.
You better be rich. If you're rich, maybe.
We talked
about Jerry Hall. It could happen.
If you're 25 and can bang the hell out of this guy and he dies.
Look, man, I don't even want to go there. But listen, I'm telling you. There is a certain amount of ethereal arrogance in the idea that at 60 years old, and I'm 60.
He's 68.
You get to be picky about whether people have straight hair or blonde hair, whether or not they vote for Trump, whether they vote for
somebody. Or a trim figure.
Or whether they're a trim figure or not handicapped, and we hate fat people. Man, I find this, it's crazy.
Yeah, well,
it's crazy.
It's a brave new world. It's a brave new world, Bill.
But there's a reason this guy's alone. There's a reason you're alone.
Look at the photos. You don't even have to read. You don't have to read the text.
I'm not even being snide anymore, okay?
Yes, no, be snide. The guy's a douchebag.
Yes, he is, but he didn't start out that way. You know, I mean, all kids start out pretty much okay. And this guy is a member of a cult, and he's gone bye-bye.
Well, he might be the leader of it if he's Reverend William.
It's the idea that he gets to, practice some born-again eugenics on, who his ideal girl is, and he won't accept anything else. We all have flaws.
No, he wants a goddess to worship, but when you read between the lines, he wants her to worship him.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at the pictures on the page, maybe you find somebody. I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully, it's not within my earshot at any public event, because I don't want to hear you again. Because .com. Thank you, Randy. That was just an experience in total aggravation.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I hope this guy doesn't get so pissed off that we humiliated him.
I'm sure he's a very nice man. And I'm sorry about the douchebag comment, but come on, look at your picture. Jesus Christ. What are you doing?
And he's got one with two thumbs up in the air, like the Trump one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. 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 Oh, God, man.
God. I'm sorry, Bill.
Thank you. I was listening, I was watching this, and it was like a combination of kind of like, I'm shooting fish in a barrel here, but it's kind of like I'm looking at him going, oh, you sorry son of a bitch. it's just like, there is a part of me that goes, oh, you poor sad son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Of course you're not going to meet anyone, not because you're a Trump supporter, but you're just, a narcissist, a total fucking narcissist.
Well, if you think you have to find a goddess.
That's who Trump encourages people who are narcissists, who the center person is about what he thinks and how people have to suit him. I mean, you want to see a picture of a narcissist, that's it. And he didn't start out that way. But there you go.
Yeah, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did. In a sick way. What else you got?
Like watching a train wreck.
Yeah. Anything
else? That's it. No, we're over time. Look at the time.
Are we over time? Ladies and gentlemen, I guess that's it.
Well, it has to be. Even though I've got tons more stuff.
Oh, well, listen, we're going to leave you, and I want to thank everybody for listening to our little get-together. We do it, we try to do it every 2 weeks, and we're kind of on a mission, both Randy and I. We've been doing it for about 7 years, and if you think that we have a point of view, we do, and our mission is to hang around on the wireless. We've been here 7 years, but my objective is to hang around.
Wasn't
long
it 2011?
It was 2011, and I want to hang around to see Trump go.
That's what my mother said. She voted for him, and now she says, I'm not going to die until I see him go.
Yeah, and I'm going to get popcorn. So, by the way, check out the impeachment hearings. We're going to be talking about those next time.
Oh, and next time we'll have our first the Iowa caucuses on in about 3 weeks. So we'll be doing a show about then anyway.
I think that you're going to see some surprises.
I hope so.
I think you're going to see some surprises.
But we'll
find out next time. Check us out at thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.
So
bye, listener. Bye, listener. Bye. See you next time.